This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter Rosenberg!
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to ENN. I'd like to start off tonight by saying good evening to Michael.
People are just inherently thick.
I'd also like to say good evening to Don.
You're not full naked if your naughty bits aren't shown.
Troubling. And I'd also like to say good evening to Morty.
I love America.
Perfect. What else you got, Morty?
That's what life is all about.
What else?
It's ridiculous.
A new star has emerged.
Stinks.
A new star.
And it's crazy because it was the same week that we really thought the new star was Griff.
Yeah, but you
Griffster.
Know what?
Yeah, he dropped the ball.
He had an opportunity. And, you know, last Friday, the greatest moment of Griffin's career on the show. But then Monday, not as good. And then here comes Morty.
Monday, he pretty much wet the bed. It was awful.
Hey, listen, consistency is what it's about. Morty's had two opportunities, killed it both times.
Now, listen, if Morty shows up in a phase and starts demanding music, it changes things.
That's what really put Griffin behind the eight ball on that.
It's such a great point by you.
He just agreed with you.
it's not what you want. All right, guys, a lot going on to get to tonight. First of all, Jim Harden, probable for tonight's game against the Spurs. Kyrie Irving dealing with a face injury. He's out. So we'll see. Game time decision according to Woj and Malika Andrews. I want to make sure that we know that they both feel that way. So we'll see. Let's start with a positive story.
Let's do that. Too many negative stories.
Harvey Day at Citi Field. Matt Harvey was back, got quite a reaction from the Citi Field faithful. The Mets were great and shelled him, and it was also a touching day. Let's hear from Matt Harvey.
There was a lot of excitement, a lot of memories. Obviously, there's been so many ups and downs here at this ballpark and with this organization that, you know, I didn't really know what to expect. And what they gave me, what the fans gave me out there was pretty incredible. I was holding back tears. I'm not going to lie about that. It was pretty hard holding them back. And it reminded me of, a lot of the good memories and coming off the field with, you know, an ovation like that. It brought a lot back, and it was very special to me. Something I'll never forget.
You know what'll always make you appreciate being a Met? Being an Oriole.
Wow.
You know?
Being an O.
You know what the O is similar to? A zero. First of all, Harvey's, you know, he's having a decent year. Has he shown enough so far that if he were to continue pitching the way he's pitched, that he could stick around for a while?
Yes. Yes.
He'd be serviceable for a team.
The way he pitched against the Yankees, obviously he doesn't have the fastball that he used to, but he employed all of his pitches. He was throwing about 93, 94. He can stick around. He could be a fifth starter, fourth starter.
I hope the Harvey story ends with him getting picked up by a really quality team in need of a fourth or fifth starter and is a part of a championship somewhere.
Oh, you know what? You're such a dreamer. I love it.
Wouldn't that be it? But no, seriously, because he needs that for the 30 for 30.
How about if that team is the New York Mets?
Are you kidding me?
Although he always wanted to be a Yankee. That was his team growing up.
Is there a world in which the Mets would be in need and would get Harvey back?
Well, there's a story out there that Omar Minaya was actually scouting him for last year's team to see if he could help them.
And if he's what Michael predicts, a fourth or fifth starter on the Orioles, then there's no reason why the Orioles would keep him at the deadline. So a team that would look for him would be a team in contention. So I don't think it's crazy, Peter, to think that that opportunity, maybe not with the Mets, but somewhere where that end of the 30 for 30, he's back in the postseason again.
Oh, he's going to be traded. I mean, that's why the Orioles got him. Low price. Let's fix him. Have a decent year until July, and boom, trade him to some contender.
How'd they fix him?
I just think that the longer he gets away from all the injuries, he's going to be better. And, you know, just maybe he attacks things differently. I'm not quite sure. But, you know, he's employing more of his pitches. He knows he can't just be dependent on the fastball.
But, like, you know what's amazing about the Harvey story? How different must his life feel? Being, you know, in the places he's been, and let's right now being in Baltimore. Like, he's not walking around Baltimore as a star.
Nope. His life is completely different.
Like, Matt Harvey could go to dinner. He could go out to a restaurant in Columbia, Maryland, grab himself a delightful meal, and not get talked to once. I mean, maybe looked at because he's a tall, handsome dude. Like, that guy looks like he's somebody. But there's a chance he can move around for days without being bothered. Like, it's crazy when you think about that.
I ran into Matt Harvey, might have been 3 or 4 years ago at Madison Square Garden, and he was going up the elevator in the suite entrance, and he had a beautiful woman with him, and I guess those days are over.
Well, I don't know that he can't talk to a beautiful woman.
No, but I mean, I don't know if supermodels are flocking to Matt Harvey now that he's, you know, struggling to get by.
No, but the whole idea of New York, right, and having grown up in Connecticut and going to Ranger games and Knick games and being seen. I don't know what the atmosphere is in that area, Peter.
And I don't think, like, when the Garden can have full capacity again, that he's going to call up and get access to their club and access to the celebrity row. I just don't think that's there. I mean, I think you have a better chance. No, you don't have a good chance either, Peter.
Do you know the last time I saw Matt Harvey? Picture it.
2001.
I'm at the Met.
Like shooting... the Metropolitan Opera?
No, the museum.
Oh, okay.
And they're shooting Ocean's 12.
Ocean's 8.
They're shooting Ocean's 8. We're in some weird room that's like there's an open bar where they have all these random celeb greats and near greats, as my father would say, all hanging out. And I'm in mid-conversation with Dipperstein, my agent, Andy McDowell's daughter, Haley Baldwin, and Matt Harvey's right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like I was part of the Don and Dick show. You know the way you set the scene of the Don and Dick show? Don and Dick are just throwing it down, and everyone's around them laughing, charming everyone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was me. And Matt Harvey was just kind of there, awkwardly.
Was he also enthralled by you?
No, he wasn't.
Oh.
I think he was more enthralled by Haley Baldwin and Andy McDowell's daughter. It was a weird scene, to say the least. All I'm saying is this. I'm glad that he's having this opportunity. And I think the 30 for 30 would be tremendous. And God, I wish Richard from Manhattan was at that party. Can you imagine?
Imagining it right now.
Imagine Richard from Manhattan just walking up to Haley Baldwin and just starting to talk about the 1976 New York Giants.
Who's that in the corner with everyone gathered around?
Picture it. There's Haley Baldwin.
Trading their old sports stories.
Matt Harvey.
The many ups and the
other various models and celebrities.
It's the Don and Dick Show.
And Richard from Manhattan.
Coming your way. It's the Don and Dick Show. What can you say?
Do
you
picture? I'm not familiar with Haley. Is she someone that would fight through it or just walk away?
She would walk away.
Okay.
I mean, listen, she's a very sweet person. She might, you know, she might be kind to this, like, old man who's, I picture him wearing, like, a derby, sort of an old-timey hat, you know, and talking about, you know, telling stories about Phil McConkie.
I think that's the thing of, with Richard is that he brings a lot of passion, right? And it makes it seem like it's really interesting. But like you said, you know, talking about the, you know, the Rangers 1975 power play isn't necessarily going to get everybody gathered around and go, wow, this is really fun.
Hey, hey, Haley.
Haley, I saw your Uncle Alec. I saw him once at a Knicks game. 1985. He was a new actor. Patrick Ewing had the game of his life.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Yankees have confirmed 7 COVID-19 positives among the coaching and support staff, according to Aaron Boone. This includes pitching coach Matt Blake. We already knew about Phil Nevin.
Reggie Willits.
And Reggie Willits. 6 of the 7 are asymptomatic. So real quick, Michael, that means 1 of the 7, while they may not be
Phil
very...
Nevin.
So it's Nevin.
That's what's being reported.
And, so that,
you know, means it could have a cold. I mean, asymptomatic means you
got
you
nothing.
Tested positive and you don't have any cold. But I guess you could have a cold. Your nose could be running. I'm not sure. I don't want to say what Phil is feeling, but there is a manifestation of COVID.
How much do you think that, like, the important people, like the CDC, are like aware of this story and paying attention to it?
They should be. I think it's an enormous story about the efficacy of that particular vaccine. Enormous.
And do we know it's J&J?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. I mean, okay. I think Aaron Boone said it was all 7 had J&J.
But let's – all right, so there's two sides to this. There's, oh, my God, 7 vaccinated people got COVID. You know, that's an issue. Mm-hmm. But can you spin it positive and say that, all right, but of the 7, 6 were asymptomatic, and let's just say – Phil Nevin has mild symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way to spin it. But
then
still,
that's a positive to say,
through.
All right, listen, we never said that it was 100% foolproof. People are going to get it. But, you know, before vaccination, maybe there'd be 7 and 3 would be in the hospital and 2 would have severe conditions. You know, that 6 are asymptomatic. And again, I don't know what Phil's condition is, but just assuming that it's mild and it's no big deal, that's what you talk about.
No, that's the positive aspect. But to me, it's something that the CDC should look at because, so let's say the Yankee traveling party is what? 40, right? Mm-hmm. Well, let's make it
50.
Easy.
Yeah.
Let's say 49. So 7 is 1/7 of the traveling party. Well, isn't this vaccine supposed to be 65% effective at stopping transmission? So I think that there's more transmission than the percentage would tell you. Again, I'm not a doctor. I shouldn't even be breaking this down, but I think it's something that should be looked at because to me, that's a lot of people where it's called a breakthrough infection. That's a lot.
And I'd also like to know, for just information, or the CDC should want to know, okay, why did these 7, were they wearing masks? Were they socially distant? Or what? How small the room, like trying to find information, like, okay, even though you're vaccinated, maybe it's still a good idea to wear the mask. Maybe it's still a good idea to kind of stay socially distant because you can still get this. Like, I want to know all this time you want to try to find out as much information as possible. Right? So maybe there's something of value there.
Can you end with something positive, Peter?
Yeah, give me something, will you?
And how about, I don't know, maybe you're happy that the Rangers fired David Quinn.
No, I'm not. I like David Green.
Okay. Sorry, that's not positive. How about
Love America?
Right. How about that?
That's positive. Morty always makes me smile.
How about some NFL schedule action?
Oh, are we going to do the win-loss-win-loss-loss-loss win game again?
No, not the whole game.
Okay.
But I'd love to give you guys some notable Week 1 games.
Do it.
Do you have the announcers, too?
Oh.
I do. At least some. Thursday, September, what is it? 12? No. 8th? Whatever it is. the Cowboys and the Bucks.
Whatever, the Thursday after Labor Day.
The Thursday after Labor Day. And that's always an NBC vehicle, ninth. Am I correct?
Ninth.
The ninth.
Mm-hmm.
That's always an NBC vehicle, correct?
Yes.
Oh, that's my anniversary.
Oh, well, guess what? You'll be spending with your anniversary with the great Chris Collinsworth, Here's Al Michaels, and Michelle Tafoya. You excited for that, Don?
Yes.
How about we can predict announcer lineups for Sunday, that opening week, the 12th.
Just tell me where Evan Washburn is.
Not on this game. This is the Jets and the Panthers. And I imagine this will be an NFC vehicle. I could picture Kenny Albert on this game. Don?
That, if the game's in Carolina, that would be that'd be a CBS vehicle.
Oh, you're right. That's the AFC road game.
Yes.
So, but it's not going to be a Washburn vehicle. I don't know who they'll put on this sexy game.
Oh, that, you know what? That's a Gumbel game, if I ever saw one. That's a Greg Gumbel game.
Well,
Greg Gumbel and Rich Gannon. Right there. Bang.
Triple G game.
Let's remember this moment, Don, to see if you get it right.
Yes, please. Write it. Somebody write it down.
I think Gannon's been let go, though. I think Gannon's not working anymore.
Well, the important part is Gumbel, am I right?
Yes.
Greg Gumbel game, three. G, it squared is two. What's three to the
cube.
Third? Cube. No.
G cubed?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Is it cube? It cube is four, right?
This is good stuff.
I got it. Yeah, I was right. No, I need to trust myself.
Sunday, that opening Sunday, the 12th at 4:25, the Broncos will be visiting the Giants. So that'll be another CBS vehicle, correct?
That's right.
Who do you think gets that humdinger?
You know what? I think that's a Kenny Albert game. No, CBS? No, that's right. I don't.
Never touched him. That's a catch.
That could be Nance, right?
No.
425, though.
It is 425, so it's got a fighting chance.
Yeah.
It's got a fighting chance for Nance. That'll do it for ENN. Wow. If you missed it, the Jets will be playing in London against the Falcons week 5.
What great game do we have coming up now, Don?
Oh,
that's
the Hawks
Wizards
and the Wiz.
Hawks, baby.
The great Wizards Hawks. Big show tomorrow. Tune in. Find out what it's about. See everybody. Have a great night.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.